and show them some love.
Are we having tea now?
Oh yeah.
Good morning. We have one more thing before we go into the preach. Chida, are you here? Is Chida here? Yeah, right there. Okay. Do you want to introduce me? Chida is one of our young adults, and she's actually leaving us for a missions trip, and so we would love, as a church, to send her out together. So.
Yeah, sometime. Sometime earlier this year, we were at Rooted, and Jada came up to me at the end, and she's like, I have something to ask you. I think Jesus might be sending me back to Costa Rica, but I dream of going back to Costa Rica. Do you think it could be him speaking to me? And so it's been a really fun journey over the past months of walking with Jada a little bit as she's prepared for this trip. I introduced her to the wonderful world of packing a backpack earlier this week, and I know that she will be finding little surprises in the coming months. And so Jada is going to Costa Rica, correct? For 3 months, and I think the thing that I love about this trip for Jada is that she's going with a team, she's going to be speaking the language, but she's actually going to be trekking into a village and living with a local family. So everything she's taking is on her back, and just living in complete abandonment to whatever the Father has for her in this season. So we're really excited. She flies out tomorrow, and so Nico and I would just love to pray for you. So if you're comfortable with the custom, just extend a hand. If you've been on missions trips before, you know some of the things Jade is going to need, and so just bless. Thank you.
It's good to be back. Like Pastor Ryan said, we went to Germany, so my accent might be a little stronger again. What I loved was seeing our children enjoying Germany, but even enjoying more coming home. I was excited to see when Milena, at one point, our 7-year-old, she said, "Mom, you know, I could stay here until winter." And Levi turned around and said, "Milena, there's no place like home." So all of us, at one point, Rafi, he was so confused, all the different places we stayed. He said, like, "Daddy, is Lethbridge still home?" And I said, "Yes." It's like, I think I want to go home now. So we're glad to be back. We enjoyed our time. We had some interesting really, really good experiences. You know, whenever you look for Jesus, you find Jesus. Amen? Amen. And I want to encourage you to go through life and say, "Jesus, where are you and what are you doing?" And as you live life like that, you will find Jesus in all kind of different places. You know, what's interesting, as I was in Germany, I can tell you time after time after time where I found Jesus. In a waitress who was looking for Jesus and heard us talk about Jesus, and she said, I hear you talk about Jesus. I want to know more about Jesus." And I said, like, "Well, you know what? We love him." And we started talking and we started praying for her, and she just started tears filling her eyes, and she's like, "Man, I need to get a Bible," she said at one point. And then she stopped and said, "You know, we shouldn't have to buy Bibles." And I said, "Well, in our church, people don't have a Bible. They don't need to necessarily have to buy one. If somebody comes to us," I said, "they will get a Bible." And she's like, "Really?" I'm like, "Yeah." And God said to me right there, he said, I want you to give her 50 euros so that she can buy your own Bible." And so as she's standing there and talking, I said, "You know what? You don't have to buy your own Bible." She looks at me, and I said, "I feel like I want to give you 50 euros. And her eyes welled up again, and she said, like, "I've never experienced that kind of love." But you know what I loved was seeing Jesus in her. and seeing her hunger for Jesus as she's looking for him. And I said to her, I said, you know, Jesus said that he will be found by those who seek him. So we're glad to be back. For all of you guys who have been here or haven't been here, we went this summer through the Epistle of John. Who of you guys was reading at home through the first Epistle of John? Any one of you? I did it, and it stirred me up again and again and again. I was like, man, if we will live like that, it will transform our life forever. Amen? If we live what we read in there, our lives will not be the same anymore. And Jesus, even as we went to Germany, he said, I want you to find me, to look for me, to love others the way I love you. And as you love others, look for me. And remember this one time I read a news, while I was still here in Canada, I read this newspaper article on, it was a youth service in the town where I'm from, and about this Catholic priest. And as I'm reading it, Jesus said to me, I wanted to meet with this Catholic priest. I'm like, why? But, you know, I don't know if you've ever experienced when Jesus tells you something, it's better to do it, right? So I said to my dad, hey dad, can you set up a meeting with this priest? And I met with him, and I found Jesus as I met with this Catholic priest. A man who deeply loves Jesus. A man who fell in love and now has to lay down his Catholic priesthood because he's getting married. Because as a Catholic priest, you can't be married. And I remember being with him there, tears in his eyes, as we talked about that he hasn't disqualified himself. That he's still, like, that God wants him to be a bridge builder, that he is somebody who God's called to. And I remember just prophesying over him, and he's prophesying over me, and I was like, Jesus, I love this. Loving people with all of our heart is our first and foremost call. Amen? You ever wonder what God has called you to be and to do? What's your highest calling? It's to love people. To love God and love people. So today, I want to just go into this passage, and John is answering a question in this passage, which is still very relevant today. And I was kind of, as I was preparing myself, all of a sudden this song popped into my head, because this question is a question which has been sung about, we have seen in movies, books have been written about it, and yet living out the answer will take us a lifetime. You guys ready? It's a German song which you probably all know. Gail, are you ready? Is that when that song came out, I actually founded my own hip-hop dance group. And I'm sick today, so I can't. Yeah, Ryan this week, he was watching some of the videos when he was younger, and I was like, this is you? And so I'm glad there is no video material here in Canada about the things I've did in Germany. And I think it's good that it stays in Germany, what was in Germany. What is love? I wanna speak something into us as River of Life. As I was praying and as I was worshiping this morning, I felt like God said, This question is a question which God is calling us to live in, to experience. I believe that God is calling us as River of Life to be a congregation, a church who's learned how to love. And it ain't easy to love, right? It's not something which comes quick and simple. It's actually something which takes a lot of effort. Intimacy or love is something where it makes us, we have to open up. And so this morning, as we go into this passage, I want to prophesy over River of Life that here and all over Canada, River of Life may be known for its love. That we will not give up on each other and on the body of Christ until we continue to become more and more like Jesus. Amen? I want to dare you and me to not give up on each other, to not give up on love, and to understand what true love is meant to be and what it looks like. And so I just want to dive into the passage. It's a long passage, and I feel like, how do you unpackage everything? And I probably will not unpackage everything today, but I just pray, Jesus, will you come, and as we read out your word, may you make it come alive in us. River of Life, may you be full of love. May this passage be a passage which makes us wake up in the morning. May this passage be a passage which makes us live our days in and days out. May this passage be a passage which makes us come alive and just see the world around us be transformed. River of Life, I bless you to be a congregation who is not just thermometers who pick up temperature, but thermostats, because of love, we create culture and environment around us. And so Jesus, for this morning, we just pray, will you make this word come alive in us? May it be just an appetizer for what you want to do in us. Jesus, we invite you to come and to be with us, to lead us, to guide us, and to show us what you want to do. Amen. So if you have your Bible, turn to me, with me to 1 John. And I want to go through it, but I might stop in between. It starts in verse 7, 1 John 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Have you ever wondered how to know God? Have you ever wondered, how do I know God? Well, here he says, whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Just this verse, first verse, beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God. It's a command, a statement. It's something where he's cheering us on. So like, guys, love one another. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. You wonder what love is? Right here, it's a statement. God is love. Anyone who does not love doesn't know God, because God is love. That's an interesting verse, eh? Sometimes he says, God, we want to know you. And he's just like, if you want to know me, you will love. The natural response of you knowing me will be love. In this, the love of God was made manifest, or the way God shows love is that among us, that God sent his only son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. But Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. But as we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. I love that. You know, His Spirit empowers you and me to love. It's not just that, well, you just try harder, love harder, do harder. It's no. My Spirit, His Spirit, says here, by this we know that we abide in Him and He in us because He's given us of His Spirit. He's given us of His love through the Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him and He in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God. And God abides in Him. Have you ever asked yourself how to abide in God? I've done. I want to be one of those ones. When John 15, he talks about abiding in the vine. What does it look like to abide in God? Well, it says it right here. Abiding in love. Verse 17, by this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as He is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears had not been perfected in love. We love because He first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from Him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. As we read this passage, all of a sudden love is not just ambiguous. And as John is writing that, we've talked about that before, he was addressing some of the false teachers. And some of those false teachers, for them, love was a concept. It was airy-fairy, but it wasn't, you couldn't grasp it. And John is just like, no. Love is clear. It's tangible, and it makes sense. It's not just an airy fairy concept. It's not just taking whatever you need. You know, love in our society has many different faces. Some of them beautiful, and others twisted and ugly. If you look at what movies and other things, what love is all about, we got quite a twisted picture of what love is meant to be. And yet here John shows us that love is tangible, that love is not just something out there, it's close. You know, like Paul in 1 Corinthians 13, when he expresses and explains what love is all about, John here, it's almost like this is the heart, the center of this whole epistle. He explains to them what love is all about and how it's manifested in the world and in the people and the places around us. It's not just a message which he had the authority to write about because he lived it wholeheartedly. He's learned it. He understood love is sometimes hurts. It's being willing to have your heart opened even if people hurt you. It shows him that love is not just an easy concept. It is something which takes a lot of work. But what I love about it is Jesus, John 2 here, he explains this like, we need to understand where love comes from and why we have the ability to love in our world today, here, now. The primary concept of this passage is love. And it's not just love, but it's divine love. And in the Greek, it's the word agape. Probably heard about it. Agape means to love the undeserving despite disappointment and rejection. It means a love which is not dependent on what other people will do back to me. And Jesus modeled that really, really beautifully to us. He said, I came and loved. Here in verse 9 he says, and this love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. It's like, you want to understand where we love, where love comes from? It's from Jesus coming into the world, the gospel. That's where all of it, that's where our love is derived from. That's where our love is, that's the agape love. It's not you trying to love really, really hard. It's Jesus said like, no. It's you love, you and I can love because of what Jesus has done for us. Like this word agape is often translated unconditional love. And in the New Testament, it refers to the covenant love of God for humans as well as the human reciprocal love for God. It's this understanding of, God, I love because of what you have done in me and for me. Now, what we need to understand that true love can only grow in an environment of, can't really grow in an environment of fear and control. Do you know that? If you feel afraid or controlled, guess what? It will be hard for you to love. If you feel like true love is birthed in a place of freedom. If I don't have a choice, it's not real love. It is unconditional because it is independent from the response of the one who receives it. I love that. You know that you and I, we could love if we have a revelation, understanding of what true love looks like. We can love no matter if the other person loves you back. What if God is calling us as a church to love people who even don't love us? You know, as Christians, I believe we owe the world to come back to an understanding of what love looks like. Not because of how good people we are, but because of the revelation God is giving us through the gospel. I love how Pastor Ryan says, I only have one preach, and I'm always coming back to the one preach. It's the gospel. And why is that so relevant to us? Because I believe if we get a revelation of the gospel, that's where all of our love derives from. In order to love and to live that way, we have to be powerful people. We have to be people who receive a revelation of love and are not afraid of being overlooked, hurt, or rejected. I love that. One of my favorite scriptures right here is, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. I love that. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Whenever fear comes in my life and my heart, I know that love is getting out the window. And so I always, whenever fear tries to latch on to me, I'm starting to look, God, what's going on and how can I get a hold of love again? I had this really interesting experience as I went to Germany. Before I went, my family went a week before me, and I went a week later, obviously when they went a week before. Logic. And as I got ready, prepared, God asked me, Nico, would you be willing to travel like this? to Germany, like with my collar? And would you be willing to travel like that to represent that you are a servant of the Most High? And the first thing was like, why would I do that? Like, I mean, and so all of a sudden, all those different things came up. Well, people probably will not understand, and you know, if I'm in the airplane and I fall asleep, and all of a sudden, you know, you drool, and then people take pictures of the priest who's drooling, and all of a sudden there's all those different fears coming up, because the thing is this, if you travel like that, you never travel incognito, right? And so I thought like, finally, I was on the phone with my wife and she said, hey, you know what? Do you think, you could travel by train down to where I live? And I was all of a sudden, I was like, I got cold sweat, because that means I have to travel through Germany in my collar. And all of a sudden, all this. So anyways, I felt like, God, why would you ask me to do that? And he said to me, I want to show you something. I want you to look for me and to find me. And I want you to show how I feel. I was like, really? So I went, and Canada wasn't too bad. I have to say, I went to the airport, and first guy called me father, and I was like, I am not a father. Yes, I am. I have 4 children. It's always interesting when you start talking with people and you tell them, yeah, I have 4 children, and they look at you. And then you have to explain to them that you're not Catholic, Roman Catholic. But it was interesting. As I went, so I went from Calgary to Vancouver. Vancouver, before I boarded the plane, in that airplane, tons of those people were Germans. And I remember walking to the gate and all of a sudden seeing the stares and feeling the rejection and feeling the judgment. And like I could hear him. Who is he? Who does he think he is? Like, and I felt people just moving away from me, and I was like, that's weird. And all of a sudden God said, you know, and so he started to talk to me. I remember. Like the steward is looking at me weird as she's handing out the tray, and I'm like, hi. And it was just like, I saw like hate in some people. And some were confused. And then I was in Germany and I missed my train, and I have to sit 1.5 hours in the train station, and people look at you weird, and you're like, oh Jesus. And in the middle of it, Jesus said to me, I want you to look for me. And I remember finding him in a little girl, 8 years old, from Cameroon, who was hungry. And I bought her a pretzel, and she looked at me with big eyes, and she said like, do you love Jesus? It's like, yes. I remember meeting Jesus as I was in the train, and this man started talking to me about his experience with church, and how he studied and he wanted to become a Catholic priest, but then he fell in love, and the church doesn't really know about love, and we started talking about it, and all of a sudden he's like, man, I wish the way you talk about church, I wish that would have been my experience. And I remember just again and again God's invitation of meeting people and finding out, just handing out true love, just loving, just saying, hey, you know what? I know Jesus, and he's my best friend. I love when we look here at John, he is explaining in this passage what true love looks like and where it comes from. True love is based in the gospel. It starts with what God was willing to do in order to protect our relationship. I love that. Like, love is demonstrated by the way we protect our relationships. When Jesus says, beloved, let us love one another, you know how you manifest and demonstrate your love? Is by the way you protect your relationships. If you can walk away from relationships, you're not demonstrating love. If you start saying like, oh yeah, you know what, we're just so different, God is inviting us like, no, love is demonstrated by the way you protect your relationships. And that's what Jesus himself modeled to us. He said like, my relationship to you is so important that I'm willing to die for you. I'm willing to protect our relationship knowing that you can't come close because of sin, so I'm doing it for you. And I'm protecting our relationship, and I'm building a bridge. I'm being the bridge. That's why all of a sudden, when we look in 1 Corinthians 1:18, it says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. You know what the message of the cross is? True love. Agape love. You know, love has to do with connection, with vulnerability, making mistakes, forgiveness, communication, and boundaries. Sometimes we have to set boundaries in our relationships because I love seeing that with my children, because true love means what's important to you is important to me. Okay, let me say that again, and I want to explain that to you. Our children, sometimes they can tell us with their words, I love you. They give you hugs. Have you ever experienced that? And then they don't listen to a word you say. And I'm like, that's not love. And I remember one time being so frustrated. And I'm like, God, how do I teach those kids what true love is? It's not, I love those kisses. And when they look at me with their big eyes, but just saying, I love you, Daddy, and then just not listening is not true love for me. You ever experienced that? They come and kiss you and love you, and then they do the opposite of what you want. And so I remember one day when I was so frustrated with them, I was like, oh, they don't love me. They don't care about me. And I remember just driving, and I was so upset with them because they didn't listen. I said to them they should stay in the car, and I just went to a friend's house, and I come out and they're outside of the car running around. I'm like, it's not working, and I'm mad. And so I'm driving away. I'm like, God, it's not easy to love or teach other people to love. And I was just mad, and I'm driving, and I'm hearing them in the back, and I said to them, guys, I'm mad. I told them, like, not just like the way I tell you. Sometimes I say it a little more passionate. Sometimes they look at you big eyes. The other day my wife said something to Levi, and all of a sudden Levi looked at her and was like, Mom, you're not safe right now. You know, teach them to communicate, and all of a sudden they throw all kinds of things into you. Anyway, so I told them, I'm mad, and you don't love me, and I was just, and so as I'm driving in the car, and they're in the back, and I'm just like, they just should go to bed right away when I come home. No dinner, no nothing, just bed. And so I'm driving, and as I'm driving, all of a sudden I hear them talk with each other. There was this new bridge which they built in Kelowna, and we're driving under it, and Levi says to Melina, I would love to walk over that bridge. And I hear them, and God says to them, here's your lesson. And I stopped the car, and they were all, are we in trouble, Dad? I didn't say anything bad. And all of a sudden, I stopped and said, like, you just told me that you want to walk over the bridge. And he said, now? It's like, yeah. It's like, and so they're like, cool. So we walked over the bridge, and as we walked over the bridge, I said to them, guys, how does it feel if what's important to you is important to me? They're like, awesome. So like, so how do you think I feel if I ask you to stay in the car and you're not listening, and how do you think it makes me feel? They looked at me and they're like, not awesome? I'm like, yep. And so for us as a family, we actually started to talk about what is true love. What does it look like, love, in our family? And in Germany, now all of a sudden we have Rafi piping up. I was like, Rafi, what does love look like? And he says, what's important to you is important to me. It's a piece of, it will show up in the way we protect our relationship. Love, the gospel, will show up if, and it's not just one-way street, it's both ways. I remember going to the pool, and I said to them, guys, do you know why we go to the pool in Germany? They said, like, man, we want to go to that pool, there's slides, and I was like, you guys know why we do this? And Rafi said, yes, because you love us. Because what's important to us is important to you. And I love that when we look at this, you know, many people believe that if we use our spiritual gifts, that we have relationship with God and that we love God and because, man, I'm doing such a good job in worship or preach or serving and that must show that. But you know how love is seen among us? It's that what's important to God is important to us. If he says, love each other, if that's a priority I start making, well, I have to say, Jesus, I need your help to do that, but I'm willing to do that. You know, our spiritual calling is nothing less than to love and being loved by God and people. I want to end with a quote from a commentary. The Christian ideal can only be socially fulfilled within the disciple band, a divine kingdom, the Father's family. You know that we need church in order to live out what God has called us to live out? Family, love. In Scripture, love is not abstract. It's not an idea conceived to provide a self-explanatory, self-motivating norm to resolve the problem in every moral situation. It is rooted in the divine nature expressed in the coming and death of Christ, experienced in salvation, and so kindled within the saved. That the central, essential, and indispensable to Christianity, for God is love. I believe that God is calling us to love out as River of Life, to live out love. He's inviting you and me to say, like, are you willing to protect your relationships? I love how Pastor Ryan said last week, you know, there's some rules in that. One of them means, if I have a problem with Ryan and I don't think it's important that he knows it, I shouldn't go to other people. There's certain things where God is inviting us to live out love in the way of the gospel. I want to encourage you to live out love and to be a church who says, like, Jesus, we want to become better and better and better in loving God and loving others. Amen? Now that means we have to learn to communicate. It means we have to forgive. We have to be willing to set boundaries with each other. Because boundaries show that there's things which are important to us. But God is inviting you and me, words of what John said here, we love because he first loved us. So I want to bless you to go into this week and even into this September with the knowledge of being people who learn how to love. I want to be one of those who learns how to love, who is not giving up on each other, but to say, I want to look and act more and more like Jesus.
It's good, Nico. Thank you. So what is important to God? And is it important to us? So I'll leave you with verse 16. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. So as you go into this week, the charge for you is to abide in love. Okay, in marriage, in parenting, in relationships, in nature. But if you want to find the Lord, you want to fellowship him with him, you want to be in intimacy with him, find love in this world and commit to it. Dive into it. Okay, 9 months from now we should have a lot more fruit from that. But seriously, these things are gifts from the Lord for us to be able to abide in love, in family, in relationships, in friendship. Whether it's around the dinner table or other places, abide in, invest in, lean into love this week. Amen? So next week we're going to share in the Eucharist together. One cup, one bread. That we'll be united again, that our series culminates in this. And so I dismiss you now to go in love and to go in Christ and to make this city better through love. Okay, let me pray for you. So Jesus, we seal these things in your name. We thank you for the gift of your word and the sweetness of your presence today. And we just welcome you in teaching us to grow in love. In your name, amen. So it's too late to go anywhere else to eat, so you might as well just go to the gym and get some sweet African cooking. Okay? So if you need prayer for anything, please feel free to come to the front, otherwise you're dismissed.